Shakespeare, Walt Disney, Charles Dickens, and many others. They all had something in common in their lives. You have William Shakespeare with his Macbeth, Hamlet, To Be or Not to Be. You have Walt Disney and the whole golden age of things. You have Charles Dickens with Great Expectations, Oliver Twist, A Christmas Carol. I had to triple check to make sure that those were all their works. Otherwise, I didn't want to look like no fool. But all these and so many other creative people, they were able to use their words and their minds, and they were able to create whole new worlds. They were able to captivate people, to lead them to new adventures, to paint new pictures for them, just with their words, with their ability in storytelling. They were able to do it in a way that I never seem able to. Like, man, I wish I was that creative to just capture people and just move them along in a story in a way that they're on their edge of their seat their whole time. What they shared with the world, no doubt will go down. These guys will go down as some of the best storytellers in history. In today's passage, we are met with someone who is definitely familiar with storytelling. Jesus wants to share his own story. And while these guys are great, Jesus was a master. He is the master at storytelling. He uses this story called a parable, which is a way to communicate a truth or a morality through story, and he wants to present it to us today. So he uses an example of a sower, not the ones with thread and needles, but kind of like a farmer. And he uses it to show the different ways that our hearts might respond to the gospel. Says, we all have this choice when we hear God's word, and these are some different options. So let's pray before we go ahead and jump into the passage. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity you have given us to be here, Lord. For each individual, I know you have a purpose and a plan. May you speak through this passage, your word to us today. May we take it to heart, receive it. May it not be my words, but pleasing to you, Father. Pray these things in your name. Amen. My name is Trenton Beneschek. I'm the student ministry director here at Crosswinds. I've kind of been MIA for a little bit. I was on paternity leave for the last 6 weeks as we had our newborn daughter, Isabella. Well, thank you. I am happy to be back. I'm going to be honest, a little bit nervous to be up here. I thought maybe the first time I'd preach again was maybe with youth group, although there might be a little more brutal than you guys. I'm a little nervous, but super stoked to be here and up presenting to you guys this morning. I encourage you to read along. There's note sheets as well if you want to take notes. The ushers are handing them out at the doors. If you didn't get one and you'd like one, go ahead and raise your hand. Our ushers will get you one. Never mind, we're out. That's what I'm being told. If you didn't get one, sorry. But you can also find the material on our online as well. So you can follow along with our notes there on our app or website. So before we hop into the passage, because I said that this is Jesus sharing a story. It's important, and I want to mention this. When sharing a story for you and I, it's easy for it to become kind of like the game telephone, right? You start off with one phrase or sentence, and then it makes its way around the circle. You tell the next person, and you know, 9.5 out of 10 times, by the time it gets to the last person, it's something totally different, right? When we share an experience we have, and I'm guilty, more guilty than probably all of you, you kind of add a little extra flavor to it. You kind of make it a little more exciting. Maybe you're not intentionally lying, but it's just like, oh, I gotta entertain people with how I'm sharing this story. Maybe you do cross the border and end up lying in your story or presenting false information, right? And so it can be so easy to kind of fabricate or twist the original story. Jesus here never strays. Right, in this parable and any other parable he shares throughout the Gospels, you will find the heart and the will of his Father. His words are never mixed up. He's never taking anything out of context. He's presenting what his Father's will is to the people. The message is fully intact. All right, bear with me. We're going to read. I think it's important today to read the entire passage for this morning. So we're going to read verses Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through 20. Large chunk. Bear with me here. Okay, verse 1. Again he began, meaning he was already doing this. He was already teaching, right? He began to teach by the sea. This is stuff he was already doing. And such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. That'd be super exciting. Like, to be like, I want to preach off of a boat now. Sick. Be sweet. All right, verse 2. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And he was saying to them, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. Verse 4. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because there was no depth of soil. And when the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crops. Other seeds fell among the good soil. They grew up, and they increased, and they yielded a crop, produced 30, 60, and 100 times as much. Verse 9, and he was saying, he who has ears, let him hear. As soon as he was alone, verse 10, his followers, along with the other 12 disciples, began asking him about the parables. They immediately, like, we don't quite understand this, which is kind of reassuring for us. Right, they were right with Jesus, and they didn't quite get what he was talking about. It's kind of helpful for me. Like, sometimes I just don't understand scripture. So it's good. It's good. So they were asking him about the parables, and he was saying, to you, you have been given the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But for those who are outside, everything comes in parables. So that while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return it, and it would be forgiven them. Verse 13, Jesus goes, okay, I understand that you guys didn't quite get this. So now I'm going to re-explain this parable in a way that you might understand. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all my other parables that I'm going to be presenting to people? It says, the sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word from them, which has been sown. In a similar way, these are the ones, the second one, right, the rocky. These are the ones that sown with seed on rocky places who hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and yet they have no firm root in themselves, but it is only temporary. Then, when afflictions or persecution come their way, occur because of the word, right? These persecutions come because they believe in the word. They immediately fall away. Other ones are sown seeds among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20. And those are the ones that sown with seeds on the good soil. And they hear the word, they accept it, they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 times as much. Whew, we did it, guys. We got through it. So, a lot of things. Jesus presents this parable of the sower, and it's easily resonated. It hits so close to home to the crowd he was talking to. Right? For many, farming was their life. It was their way of survival. It was what put food on their plate. It was, for some people, all they really knew was farming or sowing their seeds, growing their crops. So Jesus is bringing this story to them that would hit really close to home, that would communicate. They knew exactly what he was talking about. Maybe his disciples didn't, but they're like, I get exactly what you mean by that, by each type of soil. But the first thing we see in our passage today is that Jesus is actually speaking to you and I. He's speaking to us. Yes, he uses the story of a farmer, but he is teaching messages, a lesson of the kingdom. He says, look, this is the gospel. And each of us who hear, we are responsible for what we do with it. We are responsible for how we receive the gospel and how we let it change our lives. You know, I've gone through times in my life where it's like, man, I wish I just had an experience with Jesus like they got back then. They got to see him. They got to hear his physical word, right? This parable he was presenting to a crowd, they got to be there. How come I don't get an experience like that? And Jesus says, if you hear my gospel, I'm speaking to you. Right? I'm speaking to you more than I maybe even speaking to them. You have my entire word. And so he's inquiring about the condition of our hearts. He says, where are you? Where is your heart? He's asking about what influences your life. What do you dedicate your time, your energy, your resources to? What do you make priority? Is it me? Is it Jesus? Is it his saving grace? Or is it the pursuit of something else? So the first thing is, while it may seem a little dated, we're hearing about a story about a farmer, this message is for us today. Jesus is speaking to you and I. In this story, we come across four different types of soil. Back then, they kind of knew exactly what was going on. Today, it might be a little bit confusing. Up on the screen, you can see on the right side, that's some modern farming tools right there. As I was looking into it, I saw an article that they're going to try to water crops through drones. Right? So we're evolving, we're progressing into new things. On the side there, those are what they used back then. They used a pretty common tool back then, was called a sickle. Yeah, they would just go back there and they would chop down all their wheat with these sickles, right? And so the ways of farming are different. It's not as mainstream anymore. It's still a profession, but it's not as mainstream. It's not as talked about as much, but it's still very relevant. So we come across these four different types of soil. And actually, you might be asking, well, if Jesus is presenting the gospel, why would he even give four different options? Why not just give the fourth soil, right? Where everybody hears it, receives it, and has a relationship. Well, it's because he's given us free will, and he breaks it down in this way that they understood. So you have first the path, or the hardened path, and all of these types of soils are a result of their farming method. So the path would come about because they didn't often own their own farms. It's kind of rented out to them for the year. Some owned their own, but some didn't. And so they didn't have these like fences around their farms to kind of make a landmark of, you know, this is mine, that's yours. They would often use things like trees and rocks and different landmarks to be able to say, okay, this is mine. And as they were, or this is the land I'm using for this year. And just to get to and from their different parts of their crops or different parts of their field, they would either carve out these little paths, or just by habit of walking back and forth in the same areas, would kind of by nature make these little hardened paths. And so as they're out there tossing out the seeds, some of them would fall on these paths that they made. The rocky soil would be, back then, pretty much every farmer heavily relied on what they called dry farming, which is essentially they had to wait for natural water resources. Some of them had tools that they could move water back and forth, but it was not common. And so they would wait for primarily rain. Sometimes they would have little creeks or little things like that. But for most of the year, the land was dry. And so when there was no crops, they would send animals out to go graze, and they would drop manure, and hopefully that manure would fertilize and things like that. But during the dry seasons, it would harden up that manure, it would harden up the ground, and it would begin to crack. Little things like rocks or big rocks that are just hard to move would be in the way, and thus causing the rocky soil. You have the weeds or the thorns. Again, as a natural result of them doing what they call tilling, which is getting the land ready for their crops, they would have these animals like ox or donkey carrying around these tools, preparing the land, and as so the elements would kind of mix. They'd get the dirt, the minerals, little bits of rocks, but they'd also pull up some unintentional growth, some weeds and some thorns, and some of the seeds would fall into this particular part of soil, and it would have to try to grow through the thorns. And the last is what they've actually prepared. What they got ready is that soil that is ready to receive the seed so it may grow. We're going to touch base on what each of these mean towards us, but I kind of wanted to just give us a taste of what they would experience, why there was even different types of soil, why some would land in the thorns, why they would even let that happen of sorts. So hopefully that kind of helped get us to where we need to be. So I know some of us are probably thinking, man, I don't know if this is the most effective way to talk to people about the kingdom of God, about the gospel. I'm sure some younger people here, like, wouldn't it be nice if heaven just, like, downloaded TikTok, they made a TikTok account, and then, like, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and other guys up there, they would just make these TikToks and send it down. That'd be great. I could just watch that content. It would be awesome. I'd gain the knowledge, the wisdom, and it would be awesome. A TikTok, Jesus, heaven, get on that, right? Some people have actually taken that kind of seriously, and there's a new translation out called the Gen Z Bible. It's real. I read today's passage in it. It's pretty interesting. I was going to read a portion of it, but I don't have the time to do that, so we're just going to kind of move on. But yeah, we made a Gen Z Bible, so let's try to make God's word more relevant. But the message is tried and true the same. I have the gift of grace, the gift of salvation. All you have to do is accept it. Will you? Will you be in the good soil? So let's look at these soils. The first one is you have the hardened path, trampled and eaten by birds. And if that was too confusing for the, like it was for the disciples, he says that's when you hear the word and immediately reject it. You hear it and you let Satan step in and you rather go into pursue him and worldly things, and you immediately reject God's word. They are resistant or indifferent to the message of the gospel. You have the rocky soil where there's no deep roots, and so you just wither away. Like, initially you hear the gospel, you're like, well, this is exciting. Maybe I want to be a part of this. You receive it with this joy, but then when persecution, when somebody comes and mocks you for your faith, says, oh, you're too goody-two-shoes because you follow Jesus, immediately you're like, I'm done with that. Maybe I'll go back to the other stuff. Or the thorns, where you hear the gospel, maybe you want it, you try to grow, and you're getting choked out. Things like the world saying, oh, you could have so much better. Why wait for marriage to have sex when you could have it now? Why do it? Why be ethical when you could just pursue money? Why do all these different things? Why follow Jesus when the deceitfulness of the world can come in and promise you something else? And so you want it, and then you're like, I just get choked away because these other things seem more interesting. And so the question is, what soil are we in? Or you can have a foundation in good soil where they hear the word and you understand it and you want to bear fruit. You open yourself up to Jesus and then you start to bear new crops and you start to produce more in the name of Jesus Christ. You're going to find yourself in one of those four soils. And if you're saying, yeah, I'm definitely in the fourth one. I have a relationship with Jesus. I'm ready to go. Then the second thing our passage tells us is that we have received the mystery of the kingdom. Let's read verses 10 and 11 again. As soon as he was alone, his followers and the 12 disciples began asking him about these parables. He was saying to them, to you have been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But for those who are outside, everything comes in parables. We have been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. What a gift that Christ followers have been given. As believers, we're entrusted with truth of God's kingdom, a truth that transforms both our lives. It brings hope and it gives us a new eternal home. Understanding these mysteries is not about us having superior knowledge. Not us about, oh, we're better than those people. We know more. We have a relationship with God, so we're superior. It's not that at all. It's simply that we've received that grace already. And now he's given us this new home, and we can communicate through his will, and we have the mysteries of his kingdom, right? If you've heard these different soils, like, you know, maybe I've been in the first or the third or even the second soil, but I really want that relationship with Jesus. There is no reason to wait. Jesus says, you can hop over right now. He'll pick you up and toss you back into the good soil. Right? He says, he's with arms open, ready to start a relationship with you today. At Crosswinds, we call it the ABCs. First, we have A, which is admit. We must admit that we need a Savior, that we are broken, fallen people, and we need somebody in our lives to restore us, to redeem us. Then we have B, believe. We need to believe that Jesus is the person that can do that, that is the Redeemer, can change our lives, give us a new identity, give us a new home. Believe that Jesus came, he died on the cross, and rose again for our sins. And finally, we have C, which is to choose. We have to choose to receive that gift. Jesus is extending it. We have to take it. And by that, he says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Christ Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. That's all there is, the ABCs. Okay, now we're in a place. All right, I'm in the good soil. I want to grow. The question is, what are we doing to nourish our roots? Right, like a tree. When it's planted, you can't just plant the seed and leave it alone. You've got to show it care. You've got to take care of it. You've got to water it and need sunlight for it to grow. Look how Paul puts it in Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, have you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude or thankfulness. As we receive Christ, we need to continue to live in him. That way we can be built up, that we can strengthen our roots. Growing up, our neighbors had a really tall palm tree in their yard. And where I lived, it got pretty windy throughout the year. And so any gust of wind or windstorm, that palm tree would sway, it would bend, it would arch, and it would arch right over my house. Not our neighbor's house, but my house. And as a kid, that terrified me. I was like, that thing's going to fall. It's going to crush our house. We don't have house insurance. We're going to have to pay a bunch of money. It's going to kill somebody, right? And I freaked out about that palm tree every single time. Like, genuinely was afraid of this palm tree. Thankfully, through the many years that we were there, 20 years almost, that palm tree never fell. That thing was strong. It was firm. And then you have other trees where their roots, like an oak tree or a pine tree, their roots grow straight down. And that can kind of represent our relationship with Jesus, this vertical relationship that in order to deepen that, we need to be in our word, we need to be praying, we need to have that personal time with Jesus to deepen that relationship. Then you have other trees like mulberry trees or maple trees that their roots grow out and wide. Right? And it's kind of like our fellowship with brothers and sisters. Right, we need that those people who will sharpen us, iron sharpening iron, who will build us up, who will point us back to Christ. Growing up, I guess trees are a part of my life. Across the street, our good friends lived there. And then when they moved out, other good friends lived there. And then when they moved out, my aunt lived there. So I had good access to this house across the street. And in their front yard, they had a big old mulberry tree. Anybody had mulberries before? A couple of you. Mulberries are delicious. They put blackberries and raspberries to shame. But their trees are massive, right? So my aunt at the time had this really big mulberry tree in her front yard, but she had a bunch of kiddos. And so the mulberry tree would drop the berries, the kids would run through the grass barefoot or with shoes, step on the berries, then they would run inside and get the carpet stained. So even though it was heartbreaking, I understood when my aunt said they were gonna chop down the tree. And quick story on that, they said, hey, come grab berries. So I got ice cream buckets, ran over there, and we were starting to fill up berries. And I was picking them, and I was up on a ladder, and one berry fell directly on my eye. It looked perfectly like a black eye. I had to play it. So I lived just across the street, so I start holding my eye, crying, walking across the street, and my dad walks out of the house. Who did that to you? And he was so ready to throw hands at somebody. It was hilarious. I could only hold it for a few seconds before I started laughing. But only my dad saw that. So I was like, let's play the same prank on my mom. So I went inside, and I sat at the table, And I was just holding my eye, and we could always hear when my mom was coming out. So she came out, and I was, and she did the same thing. Who did that to you? She was a little more scared. But same thing. Oh, man, it was the funniest thing. But anyways, mulberry trees, right? So they were going to chop it down, and I'm telling you, it took days, almost weeks to get rid of this tree. Because the roots were so embedded, they were so strong, they were so widespread that it took just days going after them, and it tore up their entire front yard because the roots would spread from one side to the other. So much so that they, at the very end of it, there was still a stump where the tree was, and they just said, we're going to leave it. Can't get that out. It was so strong. It was so firm. And I hope our faith can be the same way. That no matter what winds come our way, no matter what storms, no matter what persecution comes our way, we will remain rooted. We will remain grounded in what we believe. Amen? All right, I got a little sidetracked about mulberry trees. Back on course. So we have this gift. We have to admit, we have to believe, we have to choose, and then we start to grow our faith. And I could just leave it at that, you know, like, oh, yeah, in order to grow, you just have to pray, read your Bible, and spend time with Jesus. Boom, my job's done. See y'all next week. But there's more we can do. Look at what Romans 10, 16 through 17 says. But not all the Israelites had heeded or accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, he who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So, yeah, that stuff is important. Our faith comes by this. Right, we grow it by reading his word, by diving into it. Think of Daniel, who when thrown into the lion's den, never wavered. Never gave up on his hope or his faith that Jesus would get the glory through the results. Look at Stephen, who relentlessly pursued even though he knew where it was leading him. This is the faith of people who put Jesus first in their life, who grew their roots. We have to be ready as believers, and okay, we've grown it so that we're ready for those attacks. Look at 1 Peter 3:15. Maybe. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to answer everyone who asks you to give you the reason for your hope. But do this with gentleness and respect. So let's take a moment away from crops and farming to some science, right? You know, I'm a very emotional person. So for me, I was able to hear God's word and I just wanted it so bad. And that's how I came to have my relationship with Christ. But I know many of us in this room, that's not the case. Like, give me some evidence. Give me some of the factual. Give me some of the other side of our relationship with God. And people will claim, they'll ask you, how can you claim that Christianity is the only possible religion that can be true? I say, well, technically, all religions can be false, right? Hypothetically, all of them could be false, but it's impossible for them all to be correct. Too many conflicts, too many complete opposing views, right? And I say, I don't really see any good evidence for these other gods that have existed or talked about that are worshiped. I don't see any good evidence for it. But I do see good evidence that Jesus claimed to be God, that he did miracles, that he died, and he rose again. Despite what people might say that, oh, Christianity is it's too loose. You don't have anything firm to stand on. They only care about the emotions. There's no hard facts. I say the Bible cares very much about science. To me, science is just revealing God's word to us already, that we already have. So I want to use a few examples of science in the Bible. The Bible has revealed certain things about how we view science well before the scientific community has. There's plenty of them. I'm going to share three. The first is that the Bible and the earth free floating. The book of Job 26:7 says, he stretches out the north over the empty spaces. He hangs the earth on nothing, right? So back in Job, when people were believing that the earth rode on the back of a giant animal, That's what they believed. That's how the earth moved through space. God tells us this is free-floating, right? This is floating by itself in space. And later in the 1600s, the scientific community would discover this. Next, we have an invisible structure. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made by what is visible. This is talking about atoms. This is talking about God spoke, he created, and the things that we don't see is how all this is about. It's atoms. Again, we wouldn't understand what atoms were until much, much later in the 19th century. The third example I want to share is snowflakes. Job 38:22 says, hath thou entered the treasure of the snow. The treasure of the snow, when you kind of deep dive what this passage is talking about the uniqueness and the beauty behind each and every single snowflake. Right, that every single one of them is uniquely designed. There's a treasure in each of them. Again, science wouldn't realize this fact until the 17th century, and they couldn't prove this fact until the 19th century. So if somebody says the Bible doesn't care about science, I tell you to respond, it sure does. It cares about science way before people did, right? And finally, with this, it's okay. We've grown in our faith. We have to have roots. We have to be ready. I think these are ways you can be ready. So when somebody attacks your faith, you say, look, my God is good. My God is all powerful, but he proves it. He shows up. Here are some examples of how he proves it through science. And lastly, God will use the meek. God will use the humble person to work out his plan. Again, let's look at verse 20. It says, those are the ones sown with seeds on the good soil. They hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 times as much. You don't have to be some big shot. You don't have to be some big name in faith. All you have to do is be available. Say, God, I'm here. Use me how you want. Let me be a tool for your kingdom. Let's take a look at the screen for a second. Right, on the left side, you see a very small handful of wheat. On the right side, you see some mustard seed. Through that wheat, that little handful of wheat, a whole new crop can be born. And it's basically like an infinite money glitch, because then you take that crop, you take a little handful, and another crop can be born. And this is the 30, 60, 100 times fold. It doesn't matter how equipped you are, how ready you feel, how spiritually mature you are. If you present yourself to Christ as a living sacrifice, he can and he will use you. But it's important to remember that God, oh yeah, and the mustard seed, he says in scripture, all you have to do is have the faith the size of one of those little seeds, and you can move mountains. You can tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it will happen. I think it's cool that he shows these different increments, 30, 60, 100, because God doesn't have the same plan for everybody. God's going to use you differently than he uses me. And it's not a numbers game of, oh, God favors me more, so I produce more. It's he just has you in a certain place to reach certain people. Right? You don't have to be qualified before coming to Jesus, because he qualifies you when he calls you. Right? And so if we just present ourselves, say, okay, Christ, God, Jesus, I want to be in the good soil. Okay, great. Now I'm growing. I'm maturing. I'm fellowshipping. I'm bringing people into my world. I'm strengthening. I'm ready for what comes my way. Here I am. He says, then I will use you to move mountains, to make new crops, to have other people come to know the saving grace that is the gospel. Amen. I have a couple of takeaways, and then I'm done. So, number one, do I listen when Jesus speaks? Are you sharing a parable back then, but he's speaking to us today? Do I listen to that? Do I hear what Jesus is trying to communicate? Have I received his gift of salvation? Two, Is my faith rooted? Or maybe I'm in one of the other ones where I want a relationship, but these other things get in the way. Or you're saying, you know what? Today is the day I decide to dedicate myself. Jesus, help me root my faith. Or three, will my life produce new crops? Will you be stuck in a place where you're not growing new crops, where you're not able to share with other people? Or are you opening yourselves up so that Jesus may use you, that you may be able to bring others to know Christ, to be there as a friend or a brother and sister in Christ for those who need it? Will your life produce new crops? Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this message and for your grace. We're thankful for your patience towards us, Lord, that we may reject your word over and over again, but you give us opportunity after opportunity to respond. Lord, sometimes I was once like the seed that was swooped and eaten like birds. God, I've rejected your word, but you still pursue me and you pursue creation, your creation. Lord, we thank you for that. Help us to deepen and strengthen our roots, to be prepared when attacks come, and help us to get past any doubt that we have in your ability to change us, remold us, and use us as a tool for your kingdom. God, we cast all of that aside. Let us be ready to produce 30, 60, and 100 times fold. In your name we pray. Amen.